I had two assignments up in St. Mary's, Pennsylvania. The first was from 1995 to 2002, and I was a parochial vicar. The next time I returned was some 12 years later, and when I returned there, I was there as a pastor. And I remember that many things were quite the same, and other things were changed a little bit, and I went along with the changes pretty well. But they had a Saturday night mass at 5 o'clock. That remained the same. And then one day during the evening of a holy day, I remember being very busy and trying to get to church on time, a little frustrated that I was later than I thought. And I arrived at the church at 10 minutes to 5. And when I arrived there, I noticed that the organist wasn't there. And I said, well, she gets there late, she'll come when she comes. Then I noticed that the altar servers weren't there either. Well, that was not that unusual. But then finally, as it were getting closer to 5 o'clock, there was no lector. And then finally, what seemed like the very last minute, a lector came in. And I said, okay, now I can make the announcements and I'll get mass started. So he was supposed to come out to the pulpit and make the announcements, whereas I would make the side entrance, come in, go all the way down the aisle, go up the middle aisle, and for the long procession. And when I was standing there at the side door, he didn't come out. And the organist wasn't there, and I said, well, I can carry a tune, so the tune was simple enough. So I asked everybody to stand, I rang a bell, I announced the hymn, and we sang pretty well. But even then, the church wasn't there, was only about half filled at best. Well, this is maybe the more will come tomorrow morning. When I finally got to the altar, kissed the altar, I saw the lector standing at the door. And he was looking right at me. And I just, after kissing the altar, I went straight to the door and I said, why didn't you come out and make the announcements for Mass? He said, Father, Mass begins at 5:15. I was so right and so wrong. Well, that's with us at times when we have certain attitudes of being right. But today I'd like to say the sermon is about, or the homily is about, turmoil. And we begin with today's world. We have much turmoil. My personal experience, I haven't seen this much turmoil since the Vietnam War. And that was quite understandable back then. Today I'm more confused about this turmoil. But you have confusion, you have conflict, you have agitation, and lots of commotion. Not always fun. I myself, and I may believe that many other people are this way too, is that we don't mind having a challenge from time to time. We can understand a difficult task, but at times we may seem that like we're being approached or even attacked from one side or another, behind us, in front of us, oftentimes at ill timing, and it is not fun. I'll tell you one, I am not a multitasker. Coffee and a donut, that's enough multitasking for me. But while we are under attack, we may feel so overwhelmed, we need to remember that we're not alone. But now let's go back to yesteryear, way back to the time of St. Paul. Now, mind you, the challenge of St. Paul was that after he became converted to Christ, and received instructions for a couple of years from the apostles, he went out to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. It was the good news of love that transposed through many different cultures and many languages, and it was the announcement of salvation for Jesus Christ. But there was a problem. One of the towns that he founded and he decided to keep in touch with was Corinth. Corinth was a very large city, a seaport city, very, very busy, especially in those days with mercantilism and even with things as transporting troops and so forth. But with that problem, Christians there were making factions. Some people started pitting St. Paul against St. Peter. Others liked to follow Apollos, a very learned man. He was a philosopher who was converted to Jesus Christ, but he was great in his orations, wonderful, popular. Then there's other people that we find elsewhere in the New Testament, Thomas, doubting Thomas. Then we have the writers of the Gospels. Mark started, but Matthew and Luke, they had to add more to his gospel. And then finally, John the Apostle, the evangelist, he had a gospel that was way different than the other three. But it's the same Jesus Christ. So what happens is that with these many personalities, scholars say it's a wonder that Christianity stayed together, stayed unified. It didn't disintegrate, as it could have very easily have happened. It did happen, though. They stayed together. And why is that? Again, think of it as the message of love, the message of salvation, and it's the person and Godhead of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to today's turmoil. First of all, how can we deal with this? And I believe that we need to be committed to peace, peace of soul, peace of mind, peace of self. And in a way, one way we can do it is not to overcome our insecurities, make them disappear, strengthen our weaknesses to rid of them, but rather we should accept and even embrace these weaknesses. And why is that? Because while we need to have faith in ourselves, and it is good to have faith in ourselves, it's all the more important to have the faith, and the faith in Jesus Christ. With that faith, and with the Holy Spirit, we recall the words, and we should recall the words, that when Jesus said to Thomas, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life." Saying that, we ourselves can say that no matter what the circumstances is, and Jesus told his followers that the Holy Spirit would come upon you in times of need. Don't worry about preparing ahead of time, but rather perhaps that preparation should be something done every day. Anytime that we're aware of our Christianity, we should be aware that, am I doing enough? Am I loving enough? Am I believing enough? Am I praying enough? Am I focused enough? So what we would do is that, one, we may find ourselves in a debate. And I'm sure I'm going to repeat this many times. But if we debate, the purpose of a debate is not to win. We've got that backwards. But rather to attain the truth. But we do have the truth if we maintain that truth solidly in Jesus Christ. Then secondly, while we maintain that truth, have that faith, we pray, as mentioned before, and pray that God's strength will prevail in us. Not our own strength, but it is God's will be done. But God's will starts with God himself. God wills it. It will happen. All we need to do is cooperate, us fragile human beings, from time to time, and we could see that miracles can happen. But in the end, as people of peace, as we pray, we can pray spontaneously, talking to God, I need this, I need that, praise you, Lord. Or we can pray to God in silence. Let God speak to us. How? We can only know by practicing that silence and listening. But third of all, we could also be dependent upon our prayers. Of course, the Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be, of course, but also other prayers, notable prayers, like St. Francis, the prayer of St. Francis, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. That starts and goes from there. But also there's another prayer that came about in the last century by a Protestant theologian named Reinhold Niebuhr. And Reinhold wrote a prayer that was a little bit lengthy, and it was about Jesus Christ. But that very first part of the prayer, that first preamble, so to speak, we call the Serenity Prayer. So may we listen to that again and again in our hearts. In this troubled world, don't we need to pray, Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. May we ponder this, and at the same time ponder the facts of our faith in our creed.